Hello and welcome to the Touchline Fracker podcast. I'm your host Lewis, and this week we'll be bringing you a fantastic new feature that we hope to do a few times a month. We're calling it Player Battles, which is pretty self-explanatory and of course highly uncreative, but who cares, it's just a name. Before I tell you what players are up for battle this week, let's introduce this week's guest. We're joined by three Manchester United supporters. We have Io. I don't know.
Yo, what's good, people?
We have Elijah returning.
Hi, how you doing?
And we have Debutant Junior, who goes by Twitter handle Cruise Control. So, how you doing, Junior?
I guess.
We also have a lonely gooner joining us. It's Leroy.
Come on, you goons.
So, the way it's going to work is we're going to try and battle out a few players. Our guests will then debate and compare as to who they believe is the better player. And you, as the audience, can come to your own conclusion and tweet your thoughts using the hashtag TouchlineFracker on Twitter. So the first battle will be contested between Real Madrid star Angel Di Maria and Dortmund forward Marco Reus. We'll start with Io.
Angel, for me, just about. I was quite in between the two, but I think his angles, his technical ability is just through the roof. Like, he's one of the best dribblers. I think after Lionel, the best dribbler in world football. And just the things that the way he manipulates the ball, his technique is through the roof. So I've got to give it to Angel.
Okay. Leroy, I know you're pro Marco Reus. Do you want to explain why he's better than Angel Di Maria?
Again, it's a tough decision, like, because I like both players a lot. But for me, I think, technically, I think they're quite actually on a par. However, I think where Marco Reus excels is in the mental side of the game. I think he's a more intelligent footballer. And I think also, in terms of his goal productivity and the way he is in and around the box, I think he'd be a more useful addition to a team. And I just think, because he's so intelligent in his movement off the ball and in the way he utilises space, that's why I think he is the better footballer.
Okay. Elijah, do you have anything to add on that?
I'm not sure about Reus being more intelligent, because I think with Di Maria, he can play centre mid as well. And I think that, like, no one would have thought he would be able to play that position before this season. And I think that's a testament to his intelligence as a footballer. So I'm not sure if he's more intelligent. I don't think he's more intelligent. And I think that's the main reason why I think that Di Maria is better.
Okay. What about you, Junior?
I think the main reason why I prefer Reus is he's, like, so balanced. He can get a chance in his left foot, he can get a chance in his right, and you can pretty much bank on him, like, over anyone in the Dortmund team to play away, like, to know what to do next, and I think that's why I prefer Reus over.
Yeah, you said, like, Di Maria can play centre mid, and that's a testament to his intelligence. Fair enough. But do you think in this system, like, I find that he's played a centre mid role, but he's played in a similar way that he plays to out wide. It's sort of like when Santi Cazorla, like, from Malaga, plays wide and plays centre mid, he's playing in that similar type of role. It's sort of like a number eight kind of attacking role. We're still attacking players, still dribbling. But do you not see Reus being able to play a similar role?
To me, I think that number eight role, you have to be defensively good as well, because you can't just leave your two centre mids, because it's unbalanced, because there's a single pivot. So if you just leave two of them alone, then it could get kind of messy. So I think that, yeah, defensively, I think.
And you don't think Reus is capable of filling that role, no?
I don't think so, because even at Borussia Mönchengladbach, I think he played 10, but it was really weird the way they played it. So when they were defensive, he was the furthest man up front, and I haven't seen that much of Reus at Dortmund, so, yeah.
Yeah, but even at Dortmund, like, he plays, like, either on the left-hand side, usually, of the 4-2-3-1, or sometimes, occasionally, he plays central. Like, and I personally think he has the qualities and the ability to play in that midfield role in a three. But the thing I think he excels with Di Maria over is, I think he's so much better in that final third when it comes to being a goal threat. As well, like, I think he can provide all the assists, etc. I know Di Maria has provided dumb assists this season, but I think he can provide the similar aspect to his game in terms of being an assist maker and a playmaker and a creator. I still think if you were to play him in that deep role, he can, because he's so versatile. But I think he's deadly in the final third. He's like literally deadly. Like both, like Junior said, left foot, right foot, all different types of finishes. His finishing's crispy. I think he's got so many aspects to his game that I think you can't really say that, like, oh, just because Di Maria plays centre mid, that means he's more intelligent, because just in his movement around the pitch, I feel like Ralph, you could just see he's a more cerebral footballer. I mean, Di Maria is crazy, he's amazing, but for me, in my opinion, you could just see it in the way Ralph plays.
I think maybe it's the versatility in his being able to switch between positions, and I also think that whenever I see Di Maria play, it just causes danger whenever he runs. Like with Royce, I mean, he's very he's not as what's
direct.
That? Yeah, I don't think he's as direct as Di Maria, and that's one thing that I really prefer in a player. Like, well, you just get the ball.
You say Rouse isn't as direct. That's on the ball, but I think Rouse is 10 times more direct off the ball. If both players do not have the ball, Rouse is 100% the more direct player.
I don't think so.
I think with the centre midfield point, I think you've got to also remember that there's two sides just going forward defensively. One, Di Maria's engine, and he actually could win his challenges quite well.
And also
his distribution. Let's even forget about the ball carrying, because they're both pretty much excellent at carrying the ball, but Di Maria's distribution is just top draw. Like, he's one of the best strikers of the football around. Like, the way he manipulates the ball, he can cut across it, he can whip it, he can use it outside of his boot. He's even done this, I think it's called a Rabona, where he does like a backheel type cross. So, like, we've seen it many times with Real Madrid this season, where either Alonso, him, or Modric will nick the ball, has given to Di Maria, and he could play a first time ball that's 60, 70 yards right in the path of Benzema or Hesse or Ronaldo or Bell. So, that's one thing I think that we disregard of Di Maria, his actual distribution. His distribution is as good as many of the top deep-lying playmakers in football. He could spray a ball, he could win a challenge. And also, his decision-making is very, very good. Di Maria, he could pretty much beat his man anytime he wants to, but he doesn't just always get the ball and tries to take on his player. He knows when to just give it short, he knows when to hit the direct pass, he knows when to take on his player, he knows when just to buy the free kick. So that's why I really, really like Di Maria. And I just genuinely believe his all-round technique in terms of ball control, like receiving the ball, carrying it and striking, edges Marco Reus.
Okay. I agree with the bit, like, technically I'd say probably if you just take into account their left peg, then I think Di Maria would take it. But when you say a player about being technically proficient, do you think being both-footed, how much of a weight do you think being both-footed has on that? Because Di Maria is a very one-footed player.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, but I remember when I was debating with you, with Ronaldo and Messi, you said that one foot is so great compared to Ronaldo's right
that
foot.
That was about finishing, not technique.
Okay, fair enough. But okay, with terms of striking the ball, obviously Royce is a lot, he can hit with the ball with 2 feet. But I don't know, when I've watched Royce play, I don't see him use as many striking techniques as I've seen Di Maria use. I don't really see many people use as many striking techniques as Di Maria in world football, apart from probably Quaresma, Paul Scholes, like even Gerrard to a certain extent. Like, they use a completely different array of striking techniques that I've seen Di Maria use compared to Marco Reus. However, obviously, Marco Reus has got a two-footed ability about him, so I don't know. It's tough.
All right, let me give you an example. All right, okay, you made a dream team, right? And you had to put one player on the left side of attacking three. Who, if you would pick Di Maria or Rouse, who do you think would be more productive as such in terms of statistics, in terms of goals and assists together?
I think
that's goals and assists. Because Di Maria got 24 assists, fair enough. But Rouse gets bare assists as well. The thing is, Rouse will score more goals.
Rouse got 13 assists in Bundesliga this season and 16 goals. Di Maria only got 4 goals in La Liga this season.
But Di Maria plays central midfield.
Yeah, well.
So overall, to the productivity of the team, who do you think could be more effective?
I think Michael Royce. But you're talking about statistically. Like I don't. And when I look at productivity, my biggest stat is influence on the game. Because I think, especially for guys like Xavi, Busquets, if these guys are dominating the game, that is the most effective thing I think you could do in football. Because you dominate the game is giving your other players, like your forwards, opportunity to become productive. Yeah. If you're not dominating the game, their ability to become productive severely decreases. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, as Angel Di Maria, he can be involved with the tempo of the game in a deeper position, which is very effective, but also has the end product to influence the game in terms of the actual assist and the actual goal action.
Okay, true. I agree with what you're saying, definitely, especially in terms. But I think what you're saying, I know he's played midfield a lot this season, but I always still like think of Di Maria as sort of left attacking midfielder / left sided player, and I think that statistic will, like, controlling the game is of more importance with midfield players. Like, I think especially attacking players, attacking players, like, the statistics are of more use usually, because that's where their productivity is judged, on their goals and assists and that, and how they do top end. So, like, as much as I agree with what you're saying, like, controlling the game is very important and influence on the game, but I do think statistics can be very useful in judging attacking players, especially final third players. And I do think that Michael Royce would have more of a statistical impact on any team than Di Maria would.
I agree with that, but because we're judging them on players, like I just see Di Maria as just a baller, because people forget he hasn't just been playing centre midfield this season. Mm-hmm. He's played there for Argentina for quite a long time.
Yeah. So,
like, and people forget he started off, he could play left, he could play right, just like Marco Reus. Mm-hmm. And he can play deeper. However, people forget Marco Reus could also play as the actual front man, so
yeah.
I think in terms of productivity, I don't think there's hardly any forwards in world football that could be more productive than Marco Reus. So, if also pick them in a position, in their strongest position, I actually personally think Di Maria is the strongest at eight. But in terms of that wide forward role, apart from Ronaldo, no one could chat to Marco Reus. Where, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think he's the strongest on the left side.
I think the stats for this season in Di Maria playing attacking midfield, like wide right, one goal, five assists, and wide left, one goal, one assist from 10 games. So, you know, he's played the majority of his football
in a central position.
Who scored? Sorry, saying 16 appearances. Sorry, wide right. 5 goals, 10 assists.
The statistics will back up Marco Reus, but obviously, if we just look at the player for player, like, let's split it up. Let's say technically, tactically, athletically, where would you think Di Maria would win? In which out of the three areas?
Technically and tactically.
In both?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Wow. It's hard because, like, I don't even think it's that much of a big difference technically, you know, even though Di Maria will probably...
Yeah, it's not a big difference.
But I do think tactically and athletically, like, Marco Reus will edge it, even though Di Maria's engine's bonkers. But I do think, obviously, as a presence on the field, in terms of athletic presence, I think Marco Reus will have it. And then in terms of tactical presence, like I say, I just think he's... the way he uses space and the way he utilises running off the ball as well. I think Marco Reus will take it tactically as well.
Yeah, but that's just run off the ball though. Di Maria, it's not just he's also effective. Like, I've seen him play different roles in different big games, we like to judge players in the big games. Just behind Ronaldo and Messi, the best player in the Clásicos of recent years has been Di Maria, who's practically killed almost all the Clásicos, and he's played different roles. Like, there's sometimes he's played wide right, his normal traditional role, mm-hmm. and sometimes when they play him on the left, Ronaldo up front, and Mezu on the right, he's killed it there. And in the last, I think it was the one in the league, the 4-3 game, I think he was the best player on the pitch when he was playing that number 8 role. He completely tore it up. So I don't know. I just think Di Maria is just tactically. I think he's up there.
I think if you agree with what Ayo is saying about controlling and dictating the game being basically the most important attribute you can have in football, then you have to say that Di Maria edges it tactically.
No, but even with that, yeah, I'm not too sure if I can put a lot of weight on that, because I wouldn't say he's the prime dictator, because Alonso Modric kind of conducts the attacks, but you can see in certain games where Di Maria is deep and he's spraying the balls, he's getting on the ball, he's picking and popping. But I don't know. It's difficult.
For me, what I feel like Di Maria is like, I don't think he dictates. I think he's like he's like what I say a lot about when I talk about Arsenal a lot, and I talk about Rosicki being our sort of instigator, or like our attacking instigator. And that's what your number eight usually is. Like Iniesta is a Barcelona. Like Xavi will be the one who's dictating the majority of the game, but Iniesta is sort of like an instigator of an attack. And I think that's exactly what Di Maria does for Real Madrid, and he does it very, very well. Like Raus, I would say, is more of a finisher of attacks than an instigator of attacks. However, he does have that in his locker as well. But like for me, I don't really see Di Maria as a dictator of games. I see him as more of an instigator of attacks. And then obviously the rest of his game, which is just like running at players, beating players, blah, blah, blah. But just the way he plays tactically, I don't see him as a dictator as such. In my opinion.
Does anyone have anything else to add before we move on to the next debate?
No.
All bases covered. Okay, so the next debate that we'll have in the player battles will be between Mesut Ozil and David Silva. So, who wants to kick off with Mesut Ozil and David Silva?
I'll go. I think with Ozil, I think the way he moves around the pitch, like, I think he's very efficient in everything he does. I think he'll move to create a specific space for someone to move into. Like against Everton in the FA Cup, when I think someone was running down the wing, he told Giroud a position to get it into before the pass had even come to Ozil to pass to Giroud. I think everything he does is just very efficient. I think I like that about him, and I think even at his age now, I think he can. Still, like, there's still potential there for him to go to, like, become a dictator like Silver is.
Elijah, why would you say that, of what you've just said, why would you say that is something Ozil has over Silver?
I don't think Silver is, like, as efficient in his movement as Ozil is. I think in terms of creating chances, then they're pretty similar. But I think with Ozil, I think his movement is one of the best things about him. Creating space for other people and, yeah, to just create, yeah.
Okay. Does anyone have a rebuttal to that?
Like, I could talk about David Silva because, like, for me personally, like, let me talk about both of them for me. These two are what I love in football. These are, like, the pinnacle of number 10s. And the reason I say they're the pinnacle of number 10s and they're levels above the likes of Mata and Santi even, is because, like, I think they are supreme technicians, both of them. And when I say supreme, I mean they get put in the most difficult situations in football and make it look so easy. And the execution of what they try and do is so good, so much. Like 90 to 95% of the time, what these two players try and do is basically spot on. Now, the reason I prefer David Silva as a player to Mesut Ozil is because I find that David Silva, I think, is a more... I'm actually, like, going against my other point because I'm using Ayo's point from before. He's more adaptable. Like, he can... I think if you put David Silva, he could play a wider variety of roles. And that is because he is tactically, in my opinion, more flexible than Mesut Ozil. I think you can play David Silva in number 10. I think you could play David Silva either side on the right or the left. I think you could play David Silva even in a midfield three, and I think he'll do very, very well. But I just think, I don't feel that Mesut Ozil has the same kind of tactical flexibility that David Silva does, in my opinion. However, it's a toss-up. It really is. It really is a toss-up between those two because they're both supreme technicians. But I just prefer the tactical flexibility of David Silva.
Mm.
I think with Silva and his tactical flexibility, when he first came to Man City, when he was out on the wing, he didn't look as comfortable as he does now. I think initially when he first came, he was a victim of Mancini playing really defensive full football in a 4-3-3. And I think with Ozil, if you played him out wide properly, I think he would still have the same influence as he does now. So I'm not sure about Silva having tactical flexibility over Ozil. I think it's just the way they're utilised in the system.
If you look at Silva in City, like, okay, you could say he's playing in the number 10 spot, but he's not. He's like drifting to the left so much. Like, the majority of time you'll see him in an attacking position, he'll be on the left. And he has so much influence. He's playing 1-2s with Nasri. Like, he was making Nasri look like he was in the form of his life towards the end of the season. And they have so much penetration, especially when they get Kolarov or Clichy, etc., down the wing and play that overlap. I think City look like a different team when they don't have David Silva.
Like, with David Silva, I think even though he's a lot more involved with play, so because he moves around a lot more, like, in a way he kind of plays like the six, but he's playing in a 10 spot. He's always on the ball, he's picking, he's popping. But with Mesut Ozil, I just think that, especially when a team is built into it, when he's in the correct type of system, I think he's a lot more devastating. Like, I think his passing is a lot more aggressive than David Silva's. I think he looks for the killer passes a lot more than David Silva does, which sometimes it could be a bad thing because we've seen a lot of players force passes. But with Mesut Ozil, he's so intelligent and his weight of pass is so great that even though he's playing an aggressive pass a lot more often, if he's still to the same efficiency as playing a simple pass, he's still got quite high passing stats. He creates the most chances in Europe. We've all seen the stats. And also, I think when you compare them technically, I don't think you could really make a difference between them, the way they carry, where they receive the ball. They both control the ball practically perfect all the time. I think they both strike the ball pretty clearly. But I think in terms of carrying the ball, I think Ozil's just majestic. Like, the way he manipulates defenders with, he can stand still and just move his hips and the defenders is moving all over the place. I love that about Mesut Ozil. And just like, he's just unorthodox. Like, the way I see him take up positions, the way he strikes the ball, it's just different, which I love about Mesut Ozil. And also, in terms of like physique, because he's a lot quicker, he's a lot more stronger. I think that gives him the edge because they're pretty even tactically, even physically, and I even think even tactically to that extent.
Well, I think David Silva is a better carrier of a football than Mesut Ozil.
Really?
But however, it's because of Ozil's physique that it actually makes him more effective. Like, from a technical level, David Silva is a better carrier. But the thing is, Mesut Ozil has so much pace and he can preserve his technique at pace, so it makes him more effective in games. But if you look at a strictly technical level, personally, I think David Silva is a better carrier for football.
But isn't it a harder technique if you're going obviously the quicker you go, the harder it is to control the ball.
Yeah.
If Ozil's going quicker than David Silva and he's still controlling the ball to that high level, isn't that showing a higher level of technique?
But I'm saying David Silva can't go that quick. Simple as, like, David Silva can control
that's his own problem.
Nah, honestly, the thing is, like, David Silva can control the ball as quick as he can go, but Mesut Ozil's just faster, which makes him more effective, in my opinion. But I think on a technical level, if you look at the dribbling technique, I think David Silva is definitely a better dribbler and definitely has better close control.
He was a wider player at Valencia. He played on the left at Valencia. So I think that's one good thing about him, what I might give the edge to Silva in the sense that he's more tactically adept across the pitch. Like, I've seen Silva play on the right, he's involved in the game. I've seen Silva play as 10, he's involved in the game. I've seen players as on the left, so the 11, he's involved in the game. You could probably even play him as an 8, and he'll still be highly involved in the game. But I don't think I see that at Ozil, actually, because I've seen Ozil play on the right for Madrid and left a few times, but mainly on the right, and he's nowhere near as effective. Whereas you move David Silva on the pitch, I'll say he's okay. Say he's 100% of his capability playing number 10. I'll say David Silva's probably 90-95% on the right as on the left. But Ozil, if you put him on the right, he probably goes down to 65-70%, and on the left, maybe 55-60%. So I think I might even have to take back my point tactically. I think Silva edges it, actually.
Yeah, no, I think he does. But It is a close one, obviously. But the thing is, let me just say this as well. If you had, like, to put all your money on someone winning the game for you, all your money on someone, like, pulling out that pass or doing that, something special, like, obviously they're both technically great, they're both Rolls Royce of players, but to do something special, to do something out of the blue, to do something special, who are you putting your money on? Because I'm putting my money on David Silva.
David Silva. I'll put on Silva too, but to me, I think that comes with age.
You think it comes with age?
Yeah, I think that comes with age. I think, yeah, because I think how old is Silva now? I think he's 28.
27 or 28, I think.
Yeah, and I think Ozil's 25. 25. Yeah, so I think.
Also, I think we need to. Are we still talking about Ozil? Because if we think about Real Madrid Ozil, he made so many matches, especially Clasicos, like. When they're under the cross, shield was hit, just a pass that just didn't even make sense. That no, the pass, no, on TV you can see the whole pitch, but you still didn't see that pass.
Yeah.
Ozil still did that pass to a Ronaldo or Benzema, so I still think he's got just as much match fitting quality as David Silva.
Nah, I agree with you, he do crazy passes, but I think he played crap in most of the Clasicos, especially the early ones. He played all right in the later ones, but I think he got sort of overawed by the early Clasicos. I think he did not have the effect that I would expect a top number 10 to have.
Shall I tell you the funny thing? His best, even though one of the people says, no, Earl's on the right, his best Clasicos are pretty much on the right. Because then again, I think in the Clasicos, you've got to remember, he was on the Jose Mourinho team, where, like, especially against Barcelona, his role was not to get out and create, because his role was just kind of to contain a lot of the time. So, like, a lot of Ozil's energy was not using attacking. In a sense, you know, when you look up the players that are the best attacking players, you can see most of the energy is infused in an attacking sense. Under Jose Mourinho, the only person who was using the energy in attacking sense over defensive sense was Cristiano Ronaldo. Everybody else was pretty much shut down Barcelona until Mourinho changed it to that solid midfield three where he used to play Pepe as an anchor and Cadeiro Alonso, and then he'll play Ozil, Ronaldo, Benzema, Ozil, or Ozil, Ronaldo, and Di Maria front three. That's when you start to see the best of
Ozil
in the Clasicos.
I see what you're saying. But for me, if I had to say, like, obviously, they're hard to separate, but if I had to say who had more X Factor, who had more, like, who do something special, or who I would put my chips on to bail me out and win me a league title, I would say David Silva, and that's why I pick him.
Okay. Well, does anyone else have any more points to add on the Ozil-Silva topic? Okay. All right, so I suppose we could fit in one more before we move on to some listeners' questions. So the last one we have is certainly going to cause a bit of divide in terms of bias for your relative clubs. It's going to be Philip Coutinho versus Jack Wilshere. So who chose Jack Wilshere before? Maybe they should start. Was it Leroy?
Me, Jack Wilshere all day.
Gone.
All day, every day. Ah, you know, I'm actually offended we're actually asking this question, to be fair. But let me just like break it down. Like, Jack Wilshere, no, yeah.
You cannot be serious.
I'm serious, bruv. Like, I'm serious, bruv. Jack Wilshere is different gear. Like, dude. I watched him live at the weekend, yeah, and I was just like, I've watched him quite a few times, but I just, honestly, I fell in love with the kid again, man. He's amazing. He's something else. But for me, in terms of what I think Jack Wilshere, all right, let me actually give Coutinho his credit. The only thing Coutinho's got over Jack Wilshere is Coutinho is more creative than Jack Wilshere. He's more creative. Coutinho's a number 10. Jack is a centre mid. In my opinion, I don't like Jack at number 10. Like, but anyway, Jack Wilshere for me has more energy. He's more athletic. He, in my opinion, has a better first touch in terms of like, it's like in terms of if you know when centre mids like they need their first touch just sort of in a distribution sense. So like they need to bring it in and be able to distribute quickly, not sort of like. You know when like a number 10 sort of has his back to go and he's a first touch in a tight space to evade a defender? I don't know if I'm making sense right now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense kind of in a way? But yeah, I feel like Coutinho, that's what, they're just different players. Coutinho is this number 10 who is better at that side of the game, but Jack Wilshere is better at sort of the midfield side of the game. So I feel his first touch is better sort of in that sense. I just think Jack Wilshere is just like, he drives the team forward. Like, he drives the team forward with his energy, with his athleticism, plus having the technical ability to match it. I think Jack's range of passing is better than Coutinho's. I think Coutinho's, again, better dribbling technique, but I think Jack, again, in the same way, Mesut Ozil, when I talk about Mesut Ozil and Silva, Coutinho is David Silva in terms of his dribbling, and Jack is Ozil when he's dribbling is more effective with it in terms of like the way he breaks from midfield, whereas Coutinho...
You say Jack Walsh is more effective in dribbling.
When beating his man from midfield, he's more effective. He's beating man from midfield and driving from midfield.
Then lose the ball.
Are you dumb? Are you sick? I lose the ball. Nah, he is more effective because he beats his man in midfield and he drives him midfield, making the second defender step out. Coutinho, I feel like Coutinho, he gives you a chance. Once he's beat his man, he gives you a chance to get back. Like, I feel like if I was defending right back against Coutinho, I'd have like 3 stabs at the ball. Like, but when Jack's beating the man, he's gone. Like, he's gone. He's finished. He's driving away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Let me say this. First of all, okay, I see what you're saying about beating the man, but Jack Walsh will then run into a brick wall afterwards.
Coutinho
may give you a couple stabs, but you're not getting the ball off Philip Coutinho. You said the range of passing. I agree with that, because I've seen Jack hit a pass from 5 yards up to 50, so I'll give you that. But in terms of football intelligence, Coutinho's better than Jack Walsh, because like it's not even debatable. Decision making, influence the game, Coutinho has that over him. Just technique, he's dribbling.
Influence the game how? Because he's more creative. I'll give him that. Like I said, he's more creative, but he cannot run a game like Jack Wilshere. Jack Wilshere can actually run the game.
When has Jack Wilshere last controlled the game?
FA Cup final when he came on.
He didn't control the game. He changed the game.
He controlled the game. Nah, he controlled the game. 100%.
You're controlling the game anyway.
Nah. He actually was central hub of the game. Like controlled the game.
Okay. He came on for 8 minutes of the 120.
He controlled the game for eight majestic minutes. I was there, he controlled it for 8 majestic minutes, trust me.
I don't care if you're on the bench, bruv. Like, you already controlled the game, fam. Arsenal penned hole in. You're controlling the game. He came in and gave impetus. Like, when Wilshere came in, he was aggressive with his passing. The pace of the game changed. He changed the tempo. I give him that. He did change the tempo. With Coutinho, when it comes to technique, like levels, Wilshere's not touching Coutinho.
Forget that. Why is he not touching Coutinho?
Let's go through. You said.
I asked this. Like, you can
carry in. You said carry in, striking a ball. I think he's a better receiver than Jack. He's a better receiver than Jack Wilshere. Because you said he's got a great touch in getting the ball midfield and distributing. Yeah. However, receiving a ball back to goal in the area number 10 is a lot more difficult than it is. Receiving's better.
Cool.
Carrying, it's not a debate. Because Jack Wilshere loses the ball most of the time he carries it.
I'm sorry.
No. Okay, you're telling me Jack Wilshere does not dribble into cul-de-sacs quite often?
Sometimes.
No.
Okay, I've got the stats here.
But that's more decision-making than technical ability.
I've got the stats here, yeah? So in terms of being dispossessed off of the ball, Philip Coutinho being dispossessed 48 times in the Premier League this season, in 28 starts, and Jack Wilshere has been dispossessed 29 times in 19 starts. So, if you work that as an average per game, Coutinho gets dispossessed more times per game than Jack Wilshere.
Yeah, but then if you look at like how many dribbles they're doing per minute or something,
exactly, and how many times, and if Jack Wilshere played all those games,
well, even that's a bit, because this Who Scored says that Jack Wilshere actually done more successful dribbles than... No, Coutinho did 58 successful dribbles and Jack Wilshere did 45 successful dribbles.
It's not even that much different for him.
And Jack Wilshere played a lot less games.
For the amount of games, that's not that much different. Like, I'm telling you, Jack Wilshere, decision-making.
See these dribble stats here? I want to know how they worked it out, because this season... It says that Chesney has more take-ons than Tanzeds?
I don't know. That's not who scored.
Nah, someone was chatting rubbish. He was gassing you up.
I saw something that Townsend had terrible take on stats.
Now something that like I think Chesney had like a better take on percentage because basically it's just like faking it and then turning when a striker trying to press him.
But also, I also saw a stat saying that Townsend had it was a really low number of take on. When I'm pretty sure you did at least 10 of those against Kieran Gibbs alone, so I don't know about each of them. In terms of Coutinho's actually dribbling accuracy, like his close control is better than Jack Wilshere's.
Well, okay, close control, yeah, cool, fair.
And that's dribbling.
But is that not
dribbling, right?
Yeah, but not all that. It's not just dribbling. That's not all carrying is. Like, if I put Jack Wilshere in front of a player on a one-on-one situation, back to goal, front to goal, I think Jack Wilshere will beat and get away from his player more than Coutinho will. So, like, I think
back to goal, not a chance. Because I've seen Coutinho get the ball back to goal, and just he's swift with his body movement, he's completely lost the defender. In terms of, say he's running directly at him, Jack Wilshere is one of the best in the league. He could commit people with his, and that's not just, but that's more to do with his actual physical attributes. Like his agility is excellent. Like he's essentially low center of gravity, where he can shift left and right
at
the top speed. Whereas Coutinho, his actual moves, the way he manipulates the ball, is just different. And I think, especially in terms of passing, I think Coutinho's passing is more effective than Jack Wilshere's.
His final third passing, but not his all-round passing, though.
In his
final third, he's more creative in his passing, but Jack Wilshere is better passer because he's got a better range of passing. And, well, obviously, he's probably got more chance to show it because of the position he's playing, to be fair. However...
When I say passing, I don't just think of accuracy, I think of effectiveness, because Michael Carrick has sprayed the ball better than practically everyone in the league, both feet. But his passing this season showed how ineffective it was. He didn't come. I don't think he hit one through ball this season. So I can't say he's a better passer than Coutinho. Even though I've seen Carrick hit a first time ball 6 yards of his left foot. If your pass is not effective,
But that's the team though. Because like, are we talking about technical ability or what?
That's called actual passing. Like Coutinho is playing in the final third, where you've got less space to not just receive the ball, less space to pass. So the weight of passing is a lot more important. I think weight of pass is the most important factor of passing. And I think Coutinho has that over Jack Wilshere.
Jack Wilshere's weight of pass is so certified.
Yeah, it is. But I think Coutinho's power, it's good for us to see.
Nah, I just think the difference is Coutinho's got that bat eyes, he's got vision, he's got some crazy, he's got eye, like six eyes, bruv. That's the thing, that's the difference.
And that's another reason why he's better than Wilshere.
That's why he's more creative, but I don't think in terms of his technical ability, his passing's better than Wilshere's. It's any better than Wilshere's.
Also, I've seen, especially with what I was alluding to earlier, I've seen Coutinho use a variety of type of passes, like the outside, who was it last season, the outside of the right foot width? Like as a through ball, I can't remember what team it was. It was at Anfield.
I remember that.
Remember that pass, like that was just disgusting. You can use the instep, like he's he uses a lot of ways of manipulating a ball. That's why.
So does Jack. I watch him every week. Like, when he's actually playing, obviously. But when he actually does, but yeah, he actually has a very good variety of passing techniques, like Jack.
And also, by the way, Wilshere's not quicker than Coutinho. He's not quicker than Coutinho.
Over 5 yards?
No, he isn't.
Over 5 yards, he's getting away from his player, bruv. He's getting away from his player more than Coutinho.
He's not quicker than Coutinho.
He's got powerful acceleration. He's better acceleration than Coutinho.
No, he does. I don't think he
does. Yeah, he does, bruv. He's missing, bruv. Like, definitely, 100%.
Oh, bad days.
Okay, similar.
Coutinho, man. Like, Junior, what do you think? Honestly, what do you think?
Like, similar to what we were saying with, Silva and Ozil. Say it's like 110 minutes gone, it's extra time, CL, final. Who are you going to choose to change the game?
Philip Coutinho.
Coutinho is more creative. That's why
I think Jack Wilshere could change it in a different way.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Philip Coutinho is more creative.
Jack Wilshere could come on, murder the ref, stop diving, spit at somebody, go get sent off.
Well, when has Jack Wilshere ever done anything?
He was just shooting sky at, bruv. Like, he was dead, bruv.
Whoa, swimming. Wilshere's got a banging shot.
Nah, I'm not saying he has, but, you know.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure, bruv.
Yeah, but you got to remember that Jack Wilshere's still... Jack Wilshere's got 3 goals this season, and Coutinho's got 5, and Coutinho's played like 12, 13 more games than him.
And number 10.
Well, Jack Wilshere has been, okay, let's look at Jack Wilshere's stats for all the games. The guy's played like almost 100 games, he doesn't bag, so this is probably his best goal scoring season ever. Yeah. So let's not bring goals.
What, 3 Jack goals?
Not bag. Yeah, he doesn't bag. He actually doesn't bag, back. It's not, he doesn't bag. Go check the stats yourself.
But back to your point, you say, yeah, you wanted to bring someone on at 10 minutes CL final, yeah? But then the thing is, they'll change the game in different ways. Like, CL's going to be more creative, so if you want to bring someone on in the final third, you bring Coutinho. But if I had to bring someone on, if I was losing hold of the game, I need someone to actually get hold of the game. I'm bringing on Jack Wilshere all day, bruv. All day.
Yeah, true. I remember the debate I had when I was laughing at everyone telling me that Wilshere's better. I said, the one thing that no Arsenal fan told me, all Arsenal fans kept on telling me the usual, like, oh my God, what about the game against Barcelona? Oh, and that's the only thing they told me, oh my God, is Wilshere and Barcelona. But no one mentioned Wilshere's ability to dictate a game, which was what he was doing best when he first came on the scene. Like, I prefer the Wilshere of like 2-3 years ago, where he was playing deep. Well, Wenger wasn't playing him 10 or 11 or 7. He was playing him as a deep player, and he was getting on the ball, spraying it, giving it, and sometimes choosing when to drive the ball. And I think that's where he has it, because I think that's the hardest. I think that's the hardest skill in football, to dictate the actual flow of the game. And I think that's what Wilshere has over Coutinho.
I think basically what happened with Wilshere, like, when he first came on the scene, he had other players that were making things happen. So he was playing, you forget, with Fabregas and Nasri. So all he had to do was basically keep it tidy and just do whatever he wanted. Like, just keep it tidy, pop it off, do something now and again. Like, he comes back and he's playing with that flipping Cameroonian clown. Oh, no, he was playing whatever, man. I hate someone. Anyway, he's playing with dead players when he comes back. Well, not dead players, but not the greatest players. So he has an onus to make things happen. So, like, when Jack Wilshere came back, that's why he started sort of, like, driving more and sort of beating his man more. But the thing is, that actually led to more dispossessions and more running into players and more running into cul-de-sacs, because he had to force the issue more. And people were saying, oh, Jack's rubbish. It's because he's playing with different players and he actually has more responsibility in this team. So, like...
Why didn't he rise to it then?
Like, any day, as wavy as Jack Wilshere was, he was injured for a year, which is a very long time, and he's still a very young and very inexperienced player at that time. So, like, that's like, all right, that's like putting Cesc into a team, like, possessing to the team when he was 16, yeah? He was in alongside, like, the man likes of Gilberto, with all these top players, right? Yeah. But if you put him into a team with Arteta, with basically, okay, not, I like Arteta, but basically scrubs. If you put him in the team with scrubs, like, he would not have been the same Cesc Fabregas today, and he'd be trying dumb stuff that, like, probably would have come off.
But I saw Philip Coutinho at 17 with Inter, and they had hella scrubs, bruv. So many clowns on that team, yeah.
But he had Snyder there, bruv.
With Rafa Benitez. They sacked him in January, cuz.
No, obviously. But they had, like, you can't lie, like, they were doing, like, you can't say they had too many scrubs, because he was
at... Listen, they got banged by Schalke 5-2 at their own ground. And that Schalke team is one of the worst teams to ever come to Old Trafford, ever, bruv. Like, I think we beat them 2-0 in the first leg, it should have been 10, and then second leg we beat them, like, 4-0. That day was so...
You're not surprised that team beat us, so...
Oh, yeah, but you guys are scrubs anyway, so no cares, like... So, yeah, but I don't know. Even though people follow me, they think I don't rate Jack Wilshere. It's actually opposite. I rate Jack Wilshere very highly. I just love to cast him because he's your golden boy, and you guys get so offended by it, which is funny. And because everyone compared him to my boy, Thiago. But Jack Wilshere is very, very, very top draw. I just want his decision-making to improve, because I think once his decision-making improves, he will show why he is a better player than Aaron Ramsey. Like,
he's a better player than Aaron Ramsey.
Yes, really. He is. Like, obviously, the thing Ramsey has done for Jack Wilshere is now Ramsey's picked up that decision-making. When Ramsey decides to make the runs to the box, it is a very, very way.
Yeah, that's different.
That's the hardest thing, because you've got to remember he's playing as one of the two in a double pivot, and Arteta is already jazzing his own jazzing the two and he's one, but he knows when to leave that position to get beyond the front man and get into the box, and that's a very, very hard skill that not that many players have that ability. Like Frank Lampard's had it, Michael Ballack's had it, Steven Gerrard's had it, Paul Scholes in his early days has had it, and these are top players of the very top draw in it. So yeah. I think Ramsey, that's what, and before, remember when Ramsey was playing awful ever distance, because Ramsey will try a dumb flick or he'll try a 60 yard spray and a half volley. Now he's learning when not to do that. So I think, and obviously Ramsey's a good, great technically player, but I think once Wilshere shows similar maturity, I think that's when you'll see that.
I think Ramsey's decision making is still quite poor. Like, I think exactly what you said, he's perfect. He's a perfect sort of like midfield runner, third man runner. Like he times his runs into the box really well. He gets beyond the striker and he's really good in terms of in front of goal as well. But I do think his decision making is still pretty similar to what it was before. He's still trying the same flicks and they don't come off, but then he'll bag two goals. Like, and then everyone's happy. Technically, like people say, like he's great technically. I think he's good, but he's not great. Like Jack Wilshere is so much better technically than Aaron Ramsey. So much better. I can't stress that enough. And like Jack Wilshere has so much of a higher ceiling than Aaron Ramsey, in my opinion. So I think, like I said this, and people cuss me on Twitter. Like people say, is your tweet coming true yet? Like I said Jack Wilshere will make Aaron Ramsey a bench player in two seasons, and I said that like a season ago or something, or like when he was banging like half a season ago, 6 months ago or something. But and I still think in a season and a half or something, if Jack Wilshere stays fit, Aaron Ramsey will be catching dust on the bench 100%, because Jack Wilshere is just that guy.
I think if he reaches where he's meant to, there's no competition between him and Ramsey. I think with guys like Ramsey, they're box to box players with 7 out of 10 technique. I think, in my personal opinion, I think there's only so far they can go, because their technique is not on the same level. Like, I think if Ramsey was to play against Paul Pogba, he'll just get bossed. Ramsey gets bossed because they're thinking up their intelligence on the pitch and their technique. He won't be able to get near them, no matter how industrious he is. That's why we've seen when Gerrard's played against the likes of Scholes in the past or gone away in Europe, he's just been past the pitch. So I think we're lucky for England to have a player like Jack Wilshere. He's kind of continental in his style, so I really hope he stays fit. As long as Arsenal stay fourth, like if he does well, then I'd be happy.
Well, if we stay fourth, you ain't coming anywhere near the top four, are you, mate?
We've got King Louis in charge now. No, better watch out.
What happens, bro? You're still finishing seventh.
Guys,
Elijah, what do you think about these guys, man?
I think Wilshere's better. Why is that? I think he's just more dynamic than Coutinho. I think Coutinho is good. I think Coutinho is the better dribbler. But I think with Wilshere, I can trust him to just like pick up the ball and just drive, just to pick up the ball and just drive into the box and dribble past players. Because I think that's one of the hardest things to do, is to dribble past players from the position that he plays, which is centre mid. Like with Coutinho, you could do it from the left or behind the striker. But if you put him in like centre midfield where there's a lot of there's not a lot of space, I think he wouldn't be able to do that. I think that's one of the great things that Walsh is able to do. I think in his passing, I think that even though Coutinho can like split defence, I think Walsh's passing is better as a centre midfielder. To be honest, I just think Walsh is a better player than Coutinho. I wouldn't say he's not clearly a better player, but I think, I would rather have Walsh than Coutinho.
Junior, do you have anything else to add on to it?
Personally, if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd like love Wilshere. Like, I remember seeing that Barca game a few years ago, and the ability to drive a team on like that is something that's so rare, I think, and just dictate a game, like, it's going where you want it. Like, he was controlling that game, and I love that about a player, but Coutinho is my type of guy. Like, he's that flair a guy who will split a defence, then ultimately games are decided on moments. And I think he's the guy I'd bring on if I needed to change a game. He's the guy I'd rely on. And that's why I prefer Coutinho.
Mm, fair enough. Well, I think that's the end of the player battle section. I mean, some intriguing debates there. Does anybody have any listeners' questions to do before we wrap things up?
I've got one.
Yeah? Go on, Alonso.
Where do you see United finishing next season and your expectations?
Well, Aya, do you want to pick that one up?
Really, truly, I think we'll be back on top four.
Instead of who?
Liverpool, you know. I'm over. I think they're phenomenal this season, but I think everyone else is going to step up a gear, and with that defence, they can't prosper. They just can't prosper. Like, I don't think they will bag as many goals again next season, because everyone's seen Liverpool's their direct play now. It's now a chance for them. Now teams are going to set up a different way against Liverpool now. Where so now Brendan Rodgers is probably going to bitch a lot more about teams parking the bus and stuff like that. And then we have to see how Liverpool break teams down when Suarez and Sturridge are denied a lot of space.
Playing extra games now as well.
And they're playing a lot more games, so it's possible to stretch. So obviously, if they pick up the correct guys, like if they get some defenders that are okay, because obviously Rodgers plays expansive games, he's going to need defenders that are going to be able to be good 1v1 and have high concentration levels. So if he could pick those type of guys up and some good centre forwarders, then maybe they could stay in it, but I'm not too sure. I think with United, how far we can go, it was just really based on how quickly we could pick up Van Gaal's style. Because I've got a lot of faith in Van Gaal as a coach, and I think we've got two of the best five players in the Premiership in Robin and Lazar. So I think, and Wan-Mata's top 10 as well. So I think we've got three very, very good, very, very top players. So I think top four, even though I don't want us to get the target, I want us to win. So win a trophy and have a good title chase. But if you ask me, towards the end of the window, as soon as we get, then I can tell you where in that top four. But for now,
can I just add like a little question onto it? Junior, let me ask you this. I mean, what happens if United fail to get top four? I mean, what should the next step be for United? Should it be another sacking, or do you go with him?
With Van Gaal, you don't want to get into the sort of rhythm where you're just sacking after sacking after sacking, but the team isn't, like, the team just is no improvement. I think at this stage, the two clubs which need to have the biggest transfer windows are probably in the Premier League, are probably Liverpool and United. I think we need to consolidate what they've got. Like, they can't just keep on like doing a title run every now and then going back to being seventh or whatever they were. And United, we obviously need to get back up there, get challenging for the title. And if we don't do that, then, I mean, it depends. It really depends. If we're playing the sort of football we were last season, just possession, which I trust LVG not to do, but if we're playing that sort of football and we come seventh or sixth again, I think there's no other option but to get rid of him at the end of next season. But if there's hope within the team, basically, if there's pace, if there's, like, Gary Neville keeps going on about pace and power, if there's... No.
Fuck pace and power. Even though Daniel, the season before, we had the same team with the same pace and power, and we smacked the league. It's just, you don't have to have pace and power. Van Persie is one of the slow strikers about, but he's better than everybody else.
He's not that slow, though. He's not that slow on a slide.
I've seen Van Persie get caught bare. Like, he's actually slow. No.
I think he's faster than Giroud, 100%.
Okay, so
he will burn Giroud. He will leave him, bruv.
Right now, I'm looking at a van outside my house, and it's parked, and it's still moving quicker than Giroud. So that's not a point to be made. Like, I think what we need, I think if we can see in our team, there's a clear philosophy, there's a clear method of play that the players are still adapting to, then yes, he can stay. Because, for example, like, let me look at Chelsea. Chelsea finished third. They finished third last season before. But Mourinho's, you can see with Mourinho what he's doing. Like, he's got the defence more solid again. So yeah. Everyone's, okay, they're dominating teams, they're pinning teams in, but they just can't get breakthrough teams. So Abramovich knows, okay, Jose, Jose knows, okay, now I need to be able to get to a point where my team can now break teams down if they're doing this. With us, this season, if you ask me what's our problem, one person will tell you our defence is crap, one person will tell you we can't defend in transition, one person will tell you we cross the ball too much, one person will tell you we pass the ball around too much. Like, we've got 10 billion problems because we have no actual method of play. So I think if you can see a clear method of play and there's room for improvement, especially with players, then yeah, you can stay. But if we're playing and there's actually, with Moyes, you can see there's no direction, then sorry, so go. But that's not going to happen under Van Gaal.
Can I say shout out Mourinho, a specialist in failure? I've done that.
Did you hear that quote? He said, a reporter basically asked him, do you regret your specialist in failure comments about us?
Oh, one trophy in 9 years is good.
Oh, yeah, one FA Cup in 9 years is very good.
What? Yes. It's so predictable. It's so predictable.
He's sending shots all the time.
Okay, Mourinho said specialist in failure, yeah? And you win the FA Cup and they come third and then you're talking. Do you know how cheeky that is?
Do you know what? It's boring, though. It's boring. I think he's lost his spark, man.
No, he has lost his spark. I do agree with that. Like, I still find it funny, but like...
I don't find it funny anymore. It's jarring.
Of course you don't, because he supports Arsenal.
No. But I used to find his comments funny. I used to find his...
He's a little bits now, man.
The thing with Mourinho, yeah, before, he was kind of charismatic, but it was in a positive way. He was making people laugh with talking about himself, about how good his team was. But now, he's kind of like firing shots at other people. Do you see what I'm saying? But with the special thing, I find it very cheeky that Arsenal fans are throwing shots at Mourinho. It's so cheeky.
Nah,
it's actually
nah,
it's
nah,
mad,
nah.
mad cheeky. Like, unbelievably cheeky.
Nah, because he's a little
Mourinho.
It's actually unbelievably cheeky. How
nah, he's a bitch, bruv. Like, he's a moaning little whiny bitch, bruv. That's why.
He's a bitch. No one's a bigger bitch than Wenger.
Nah, Mourinho's just as big a bitch, bruv.
No. Wenger used to moan that players were physical. That's the biggest bitchery.
No, he never. He used to moan that Arsenal were getting unfairly kicked off the park.
About Bolton? He's got they're too physical. They use physical tactics. Bolton didn't used to kick Arsenal off the pitch. They were just strong to tackle. Stoke, I could give it to him because Stoke are the scum of the earth. They need to... That previous thing, they need to be kicked out of the Premiership just for the sake of it. Fair enough. But the Bolton teams that were just stern in the tackle, Wenger used to bitch every time because Jan Koppers used to bang against you all the time. That's the biggest bitchery ever. A bitch about physicality in a men's sport.
See, I don't think Wenger's a bitch. I just think he's a sore loser. Like,
he is, exactly.
Like, if he loses... That's why I like him, basically. Like, if he loses, he won't accept it. David Moyes, after we lost against Everton, he was like, oh, we played well. Like, we did not play well. If that was Mourinho, he'd be like, X and Y is dead. X and Y should go.
At the end of the day, yeah, they're both sore losers, and they both moan when they lose. Is another moaner when he loses, yeah?
Yeah,
the only thing is, Wenger gets called a bitch for it because he loses often. But what I'm saying is, Mourinho was losing more than often this season, and he is a bitch for it. He was like, oh... This is 19th century football. When you park the bus in every freaking game, how dare you?
How can you say, wait, he parked the bus? So, where was the bus when you guys got smacked 6-0, please?
Did he come off first?
What are you exactly defending? Did you not watch the Atletico Madrid away game?
No. Don't get me wrong. I was cussing, but I don't like when people want to Ray Charles when they do things well. I don't like that.
Remember he was criticizing Sam Allardyce for doing exactly the same thing.
I think it's a full flat because he does it himself.
Exactly, that's what we're saying.
But I'm saying, no, but he said every game.
No, obviously not every game. Even Leroy admit it's not every game.
Yeah.
Leroy hates Mourinho, bruv. He actually hates Mourinho.
I actually hate Mourinho, bruv. I prefer not to speak. I prefer not to speak. Shut up, bruv. What are you chatting shit? Rah! I actually hate it.
And also, don't ever put Wenger and Mourinho on the level of Ferguson, because Ferguson never...
Ferguson just cuts off media companies.
Ferguson,
yeah, he's just a bitch about that. Ferguson never says... How many times has Ferguson...
Whenever Ferguson lost, he would get his assistant manager to come and give an interview.
No, Ferguson doesn't comment about the other team.
He's never a referee. That, yeah, but referee didn't give us this, that.
Wenger be like, oh, this team, they play this way. My team showed great quality, but this team...
Why is that bitching? I don't understand why that's bitching.
It's just they're all sore losers, yeah? But the thing is...
Yeah, they're all sore losers.
If you're calling Wenger a bitch, you have to call Mourinho a bitch.
Yeah, I agree. Even Brendan Rodgers was bitching in a match.
They're sore losers. That's what it is. So, like, you can't just say Wenger's a bitch.
Yes, he can.
No, you can't, because then Mourinho's a bitch. They're all bitches.
Anyway, guys, I've got a question. How do you see the Champions League final going?
Ronaldo.
Real Madrid.
I think Atletico Madrid are going to win.
I rebuke you.
We'll see what happens, because like this Diego Costa horse placenta thing, if it works, I think it's going to go Super Saiyan. But even though it goes Super Saiyan, it'll be like, you know, like Goten. You know Goten. It's not really going to be all that, to be fair. Come on, like.
Listen, Ronaldo's going to bag a break.
I think the last three games, Atletico Madrid have just pressed Real Madrid off the pitch. So I think it's going to be the same.
No, not the 3-0 game.
The 3-0, they whacked them, bruv.
Oh, wait. I forgot about the cup. I was thinking of the cup final the last year and the two league games. The two league games, as Atletico Madrid were the far better team.
True.
Because Madrid didn't... They barely got a touch of the ball. To be honest, they were lucky to get a draw at the Vicente Calderon. And then even in the cup final last year,
Cottwell's had 8 hands that game, so there's nothing Romagic could do. That's the game Romagic hit the post like twice in like 5 minutes at 1-1, and then they just got the last late goal.
Because I know in extra time Courtois saved them a lot. But I think throughout the whole game,
even normal time, I remember it was like around the 55th to 70th minute where Real Madrid was just peppering shots and Courtois was just being like a Spider-Man just saving everything.
Like, he moves like Vishnu still, like. he's a madman.
I really hope Chelsea sell him. That'll make my...
I think Real Madrid will beat them in the final. I think it'll be a tight game. I think it'll be like 2-1.
Okay.
I've got a funny feeling Real Madrid will wipe them. Like, literally just wipe them, like 3-0 again.
I don't know.
Just wipe them up. Proper.
I don't know.
That counter is so dangerous, and it's not like just pace, it's like smart pace as well. You've got Di Maria, like Bale can make a good decision, you've got Ronaldo, obviously.
Bale can make a good... What? Alright, sorry.
But will Real Madrid get the... chance to count on at Atletico Madrid, because I don't think they will.
Even so, like, if it comes to who's going to dominate the game, I still think Real Madrid will do that.
Real Madrid may dominate the game, but in terms of dominating the space, then Atletico Madrid will do that, and it'll just be easy for them, to be honest.
I'm not sure. Like, it really depends on who's, like, if Real Madrid like a proper razor sharp top end, like, I just see them banging. I see them banging even several goals.
I think it depends on how good Atletico are. Because if they can defend like they can, then I really don't see much teams breaking them down. I think they went like a month without conceding a goal.
No. Defense is crazy. It's crazy.
They're defensively, they're...
I think if Real Madrid win the midfield battle, it's just over.
Yeah.
Especially because Real Madrid got a lot of guys, big game players. So like guys, they've got. They've got Goku, Ronaldo, so...
That's the thing. I think even if, like, Atletico defend crazy, I could see Real Madrid or Ronaldo or Donkey Kong banging one top bins. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just see it. Like,
Ronaldo, even if he don't even need to turn Super Saiyan, he'll still back too. So if he turns up, yeah, it's just long.
just long.
Guys, does anyone have any more questions before we wrap it up?
I think I have one more.
Go on.
Let me get up. Chamberlain versus Sterling, who should start for England and why? Or would you try and fit both into the same side?
It's a tough one. I think
Sterling definitely, because Chamberlain's
yeah, for me, Sterling started every game in the World Cup.
But because of Roy's love for him, or because he should?
I would start Chamberlain.
Even though he's not fit.
Oh.
No, he's fit, though.
Nah, but he's not really fit. Like, he's not match fit. He's been out for a while. He's not really match fit. I would definitely start Sterling, man.
I think by the third game, I would be starting Chamberlain over Sterling.
Okay.
I think I'd start Sterling on the right, and then maybe start with Lallana on the left, and then maybe rotate Lallana and Ox, because in the last 40 minutes or whatever of a game, Ox is the one who will provide like emphasis and energy going forward.
I don't know with Lallana against Italy and Uruguay, to be honest.
This Lallana talk gets me so mad.
Against Italy, I don't think I would choose Lallana to start against Italy. I think against Costa Rica. Is our last team in the group?
Yeah.
I would calm. Lallana's going banging that team for me against Italy. No problem. We need a player like him. We need someone with his qualities. Like against.
Yeah, I think if I'm gonna play Lallana, I'm gonna play him off the left.
Yeah, off the left against Italy. Start him straight up. No problems.
Okay. I don't know, because against Italy, if they play three at the back, you're gonna need to run the channels, and I don't think Lallana from the left is gonna do that.
But the way I would have it is, if I've got Sturridge as my striker, I would have him running the channels and have Lallana moving centrally.
So depending on
which channel you're going to use, if they play three at the back, obviously you're going to have Sterling out wide, but then, like, you know, like, I would have Lallana cutting in on the inside. Say if, like, my left back had the ball, I'd have Lallana cutting in on the inside and taking the spare man, and then having Sturridge do the arc, like, running the arc, run down the channel.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's how I would make my play. I'll use that manoeuvre quite a lot. I think it's very effective.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got one last question before we wrap it up, guys. Hugh Lawrence asks, after retiring from football, where does Giggs rank among the Premier League's greatest ever?
In quality or longevity?
Well.
Is it just pure quality?
Take it how you wish, mate.
Boy.
Because it depends what you judge it on, isn't it? I mean, should longevity be a factor in the greatest Premier League players ever?
I think it is. Because if you have, like, I don't know why people rate longevity in defenders, but when it comes to a more, like, offensively minded player, it's not really seen as that much of a factor.
But he hasn't really had longevity in the attacking sense, has he?
Moved into like a CM, but he's still like when you see him play, he has more offensive ability than. Like,
oh no, definitely. But he hasn't remained being like a winger like that. I mean, he still had to.
He's had to adapt.
Defensitize or whatever, you know, like he's had to come back down a peg.
I think he stayed a winger until like 2008, and then since then, he's become more of a central midfielder. So that's like 16 years being a winger.
What do you guys think of, like, if someone was to say Giggs is the greatest Premier League player ever?
He's not.
No, he's not.
I'd rather have Scholes, Gerrard, Ronaldo, probably, maybe.
Thierry Henry.
Thierry Henry, definitely.
Personally, I don't even care about longevity, man. I'm just saying who's a better player. Giggs, they're not there for me. He ain't up there for me.
I remember Daniel said that Robben's better than Giggs.
He is.
Robben?
Yeah.
Cool.
You don't want to explain, Leroy?
That was a fix better than Giggs. It's all about
Giggs the Giggs.
You've shocked everyone right now.
I don't know, there's not even too much to say. Like, cool, innit?
I think you'll get laughed at because Just simply because of the longevity argument, you know?
I'm not really buying that argument. Like, I just, who's a better player? Like, even if Ronaldo played in the Premier League for a year and Giggs played for 50 years, like, Ronaldo's better than Giggs.
I agree with that.
Do you know what I mean?
So, I think that's how players should be judged.
That's in my opinion, yeah, same here. Like, Messi could come over for, like, 6 months, but like,
he would still be, like, the greatest Premier League player ever.
So, yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. All right, guys, any more before we leave it here?
I wanted to quickly say, Ayo. Oh, yeah, so, Drogba, you said he wasn't in your top 20, and that kind of sparked controversy. Like, would you maybe care to explain that, or...?
Yeah, top 20 strikers in the Premiership. And so, when you're a striker, your job is to bang goals. Drogba didn't bang. Period. He just did it back. He had two seasons where he scored a great amount of goals. I think he was in the league for like 6 to 8 years or so, roughly around that period. And in terms of like goal scoring heights in the Premiership, like over the years, there's been so many players who've done a lot more than Didier Drogba. Like even Robert Van Persie, who's practically been crippled for a lot of his professional career, has more Premier League goals than Didier Drogba.
Yeah, but
like if I look at his tally right now, I'll go through them. In fact, these are league goals. 10, 12, 20, 8, 5, 29, 11, 5.
If you look at Rooney, up until like 2009, 2010, he had a similar problem to Drogba. He was only getting like 10, 11 goals a season.
You went Rooney?
Yeah, and like he's only had like 2 seasons where he's proper banged in goals. He's had 2 seasons where he's banged in goals, like over 30 goals in a season.
Who's this, Rooney?
Yeah, Rooney.
I swear Rooney's always had like a 2-1 ratio or something like that.
Yep.
I've
got the stats right in front of me. Yeah, he was
in the league. He has one goal every 2 games, but like
His lowest league tally has been 11 goals, and that was in 28 games. And Drogba scored 5 goals in like 29 games, or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
What? Like, Rooney, Drogba's only had in for Chelsea, Drogba's only scored over 20 goals in all competitions. Twice. For Chelsea.
Dad, this twice. Laptop's not turning on.
And even in the last 2 years.
Wait.
Go on.
I heard like bare background noise. Everything you said is not going to come up.
Where should I start from again?
I have no idea, but I heard someone, I don't know who it was.
Okay, I'll just start talking about Rooney. Tell me when I should go. Shut up.
Just hear that.
When shall I go?
I don't know, because the background noise ain't over. Who's talking, guys?
I'm still there. No noise here.
Must be Junior then.
No, I'm talking. I had to put my mic on mute.
Oh, I don't know then. Okay, Leroy? Gone. I think Leroy's by himself.
I'm just
saying. Gone, start again.
Yeah, it's like if you look at Rooney's goal scoring records, his professional career is a lot better than Didier Drogba's. And even with that, Rooney's been used in left wing, attacking mid, second striker, so whereas Drogba's always been a number 9, so you would always assume a number 9 would get a lot more goals than a slightly more creative forward, which Rooney was for up until 2009. So, and the fact that he still scored a lot more goals and he's better technically, like I don't even think he's even a debate. I can name the strikers that I think are better than Drogba in Premier League. I think we've had Van Persie, Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry, Ian Wright, Andy Cole, Wayne Rooney.
Dwight York.
No, I'm not.
Zola.
Zola, Eric Cantona. Have I mentioned Thierry Henry?
Yeah.
Even Robbie Keane.
What about Teddy Sheringham?
Teddy Sheringham, yeah, technically in a different realm to Drogba. Even Robbie Keane, especially in his early...
But impact? Really?
What impact does Drogba have?
Drogba was a flipping monster.
Nine games, nine finals, nine goals.
in terms of big game player, in terms of the finals, yeah, he was the guy.
And his overall, okay, like you say, okay, I did say like stats is really important when you're judging forward players, right? But you say like influence of the game is really important as well. Drogba's influence of the game for a forward player was ridiculous.
He's crossing.
Like, his influence on the game, just like he held up their attack, bro. Because obviously, like Mourinho plays with a midfield which is 100 meters from any fucking striker. But yeah, like he just held it down for them, man. He was so influential in their style of play, in all of their games. Like he was the key man. Everything was off him or through him. Like
looking back to like the end of his career, I can't really remember a few times where like. We played Chelsea and he didn't spin us. Like, that never happened.
He didn't ever spin us. He scored that. Yeah. I remember he scored a goal in the FA Cup final. I think he scored a goal when he was offside against us.
That's because we had Vidic. You always held him down.
Yeah, Vidic, he never did anything else.
And he used to spin at Arsenal because he used to love playing against Senderos.
Yeah, I remember this once, I think he played against Liverpool, where he got 4 assists at Anfield, when he gave, I think it was Sammy Hupia, the rudest chop. Like, it was just, I think Hupia, like, kind of fell on his bum, like, it was so rude. Like, but, yeah, like, as a striker, like, don't get me wrong, like, he did a lot for Chelsea, but I'm sorry, we can't all diss Jude for saying, ah, he has to do more than hold the ball up and then come and bum it.
Can't even do that properly, bruv.
yeah, he can't do that properly. Don't get me wrong. I still think flipping Drogba's better than Giroud, but we can't use the same stick to beat Giroud and then just Ray Charles it because it's DDA Drogba. He's a big name. Like, nah, man. Like, he didn't bank. Like, how can he score 5 goals in one season? Like, what were he actually doing? What was he looking at?
but 5 goals. How many games was that? 5 goals.
Let me get out for you. I just saw it. Even Vermaelen scored more than 10 goals in one season, bro. And that guy can't defend properly. So I really don't know what Drogba was doing, bro. Even for Africa, Drogba was actually garbage. Like, guy plays Africa's Cup doesn't do anything.
Too
busy eating. How did he have a stew before games? It must be. I don't even know. Let me find it.
I've got it here.
It's in the league, yeah. 2011, 24 games, 5 goals.
Oh, that's trash. That's so garbage.
Do you know how dead that is,
man? That's garbage. Oh,
and the season before was 11-36.
Oh, that's junk.
So, look, 2008, 2009, 24
5 games, and 24.
Oh, my Lord. This is horrific, man. This is horrific.
I take everything back.
Even thinking about it, just look at these numbers, makes me itch, man.
I think Giroud this season outscored Drogba in 6 out of Drogba's 8 seasons.
Yep.
I think even Giroud last season outscored Drogba in like 4 or 5 of Drogba's seasons.
This is Drogba's tally in terms of his best to worst: 37, 33, 16, 16, 15, 14, 13, 13. That's all competitions. Bro, I'm sure Lampard bagged more goals than this, bruv.
That's kind of mad still.
Bruv, I'm sure Wilfred Burnley... I promise you, 8 seasons of Wilfred Burnley will bang more goals than Drogba. Certified. I'll put my house on it. My dog Wilfred will bang more than Drogba.
Wilfred. Oh, God. That's so... I didn't actually know it was that bad, you know?
Five,
Leroy, you need to apologise to Giroud.
Five.
Bruv, you trip and fall into 5 goals a season.
Bruv, Berbatov scored 5 goals in one game. So if Berbatov played only that one game, yeah, for the whole season, he equaled Drogba's production in 24 games.
That's actually mad.
And I don't know what type of hold up play you're doing that's going to be worth making up, like, holding up 10 bricks while you're doing it, because I'm sorry. No, when you're playing lone striker, you garbage. Oh yeah, Anelka's another one in the list. I forgot Anelka.
Overrated.
No, not overrated.
Okay. Yeah. I was about to say.
And I was going to put Anelka in there. I said Zola. Robbie Keane, because Robbie Keane used to bang in a different sort of way.
Robbie Keane is so underrated.
So underrated. Guy was wavy.
You're not going to say Adebayor, are you?
My dog, Adebayor. I'm even going to say Adebayor. Anyone could come at me, I don't mind.
You're saying Adebayor over Drogba?
Oh, no.
Oh, Everybody can come at me. Everybody. All
your mention is going to be disgusting.
Yeah, come. Sergio Aguero over Didier Drogba, even though he's only played like three seasons. Suarez, he's a better. Even though he's played 2.5, still better than Didier Drogba. Even Jimmy Ford Hasselbank, he's the best.
This is disrespectful.
No, Hasselbank is the bad though.
Yeah, he did at Leeds.
Adam Johnson.
No, but Adam Johnson only got like 10 goals this season.
Johnson, I'm actually joking. That's a joke.
Hey, I saw you put Van Nistelrooy in your list on Twitter.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But, okay, if you argue Van Nistelrooy, I'll actually write a dissertation for you why he's been a distraught. References. 200 games for United, 150 goals. Let's not talk. I think he's second in Champions League all-time scoring behind Raul. Like levels, Drogba's not levels. Van Nistelrooy. Period. No debate. Not having it. Ever.
Brother, Van Nistelrooy was my favourite striker when I was a kid.
Yeah, same. Van Nistelrooy, he was great.
No, but he used to anger me when Man United fans used to come to school saying, oh,
Van
Nistelrooy is better than Henry. Van Nistelrooy is better than Henry.
Even though I knew in my heart of hearts it weren't, I just had to debate it because we were getting touched them times.
And then when Van Nistelrooy went on his strike, people started saying, "Oh no, but okay, Eto's better than Henry now. Eto's better than Henry."
Oh,
Eto! Wow.
Yeah. Oh, mate, my school was just full of idiots.
That is outrageous.
That's what happens when you go to school in Leytonstone.
I'm trying to think of the other strikers that are better than Henry.
Carlton Cole.
Okay.
Marlon King.
Sean Gota.
No, I'm joking. Michael Owen as well. Yeah, I had an argument. People saying Owen's job was better than Owen, which I thought was crazy.
No. Owen, that guy was.
Oh, yeah, Robbie Fowler.
I think you've actually got a point about not being in top 20.
But the guys. If you bang 5 goals here in one Premier League season, you'll just have the chat. Don't care. 5 goals. Fine, let me
forgetting people like Alan Shearer. Yeah.
I said Alan Shearer.
Oh, did you?
That's not even up for debate, Alan Shearer. But let me even get Adebayor's stats up right now.
Adebayor had decent stats.
Kevin Phillips and James Beattie.
Let me get Emmanuel. No, yeah, I said Kevin Phillips as well. I forgot Kevin Phillips.
Wow. Kevin Phillips over Drogba? No, Kevin Phillips had one season. look, Adebayo got 30 in 48 for Arsenal.
Well, Cesc Fabregas is a G, bro.
16 in 37.
Fabregas could make your nan score 15 goals. He could make your nan score 15 goals in the Premier League.
Adebayo's got garbage stats.
Yeah, garbage. Oh, my God. 5 in 25. Oh, my God. What was he looking at? 2012 or 13?
Where was that?
2012-2013. That's the season before.
Yeah, but
this
one. Do you know what? Wasn't that when he was like coming a lot of times off the bench?
Okay. He could get a blast for that. Yeah, he was a bench guy then. Yeah. Okay.
Even this season, like when you look at Adebayo's goal scoring record this season, it's pretty impressive considering.
Yeah, of course. Oh yeah, Dimitar Berbatov. I forgot about him. Carlos Tevez. Dude, you said Berbatov about the Drogba?
Huh? He's not.
You said that. You said that. Berbatov.
No, he's not better than from you.
Are you clinically disabled?
I hate the top of my
name. I don't care if he's. I don't care if he stabbed your mum. Like, he's.
I'm sorry.
Okay, but why is Drogba better than Berbatov?
Look, even in the season where he scored 20 goals, I think 10 of his goals came in 3 games. That's like 10 goals in 29 games.
And sometimes, but what's this prick got 5 goals in 20.
Yeah, 5 goals in 20. Yeah. 5 goals, that's one season, but I'm sorry.
That was 2 seasons, Elijah. That was 2 seasons.
2 seasons, not 1. 5 goals, yes. 5 to, yeah, double.
You got 5 goals in 2 seasons.
Yeah, in 24 games.
I'm
kind of glad it's not on Arsenal this week, to be honest.
Yeah, no, this is banter. Chelsea fans need to get it. Drogba scored 5 goals in 2 seasons.
Five goals in each of 2 seasons.
That's disgusting.
Listen, there's one season. Bro, Berbatov's last season for Manchester United, yeah? In the Premier League, he played 12 games and he scored 7 goals. So what was Drogba doing? Like, I don't understand. Like, did they tie his legs together?
I blame Mourinho, man. Mourinho, like, no one's within 100 metres of him, bro.
But Mourinho was only in charge for 2.5 seasons, and that was at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's peak.
He's been under Ancelotti, Scolari, Hiddink, everyone got bare managers, and he's still not bagging. Nah, sorry, nah, sorry. Okay, it's not air, but he's not better than Berbatov. The gap in technique between Berbatov and Drogba is the length of the River Nile. Like,
in terms of technique, Berbatov's very clear, but I don't know.
With
Berbatov, I just think his influence is not as big as Drogba's in all games.
You're Ray Charles and Berbatov at Leverkusen and Tottenham.
I think with Berbatov, he goes through a lot of purple patches, man. I really hate that in a player.
Drogba's whole bloody career is a purple patch.
Yeah, but still.
I know even you don't believe his argument anymore. You're starting to think about it, thinking, I'm not too sure if I should have said this.
All right, guys, I think we should leave it there because we're, like, running a bit over in time. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you to the guests Elijah, Io, Leroy, and Junior. And we'll see you guys next week. Ciao.
Ciao.
It's not my problem.